to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 3. I want to bring a brief message on the subject of baptism, to look at baptism as a picture. But in verses 13 through 17, we read of the baptism of Christ. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John. The reason he came was to be baptized of him. Not just to be baptized, but he came to be baptized of him. John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This, of course, was the first step of Christ entering into his public ministry. We see that he went to Jordan, as we've already pointed out. He went to be baptized, and he went to be baptized by a certain one, not just anyone, but a certain individual. That individual, of course, was John. And the reason that Jesus walked some 60 miles to be baptized by John was because John had authority to baptize. It's not because the water was any better in Jordan. It's not because there was more sufficient water. He went there to be baptized by John because John had the authority from God to baptize. Notice in the book of John, chapter 1 and verse 6, there was a man sent from God. That's authority, whose name was John. Verse 33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize. He that sent me to baptize, John the Baptist speaking, with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Now, most so-called evangelicals say that it doesn't matter. It does not matter who administers baptism. Some, most, will say that it is by immersion. Some will even say that doesn't matter. But most will say that it is by immersion, but it really doesn't matter who does it. Doesn't really matter who administers the baptism. But authority is important. Authority is important in everything. We know today that if you're going to, not just anyone can, be, we'd be better off, but not just anyone can perform an action of the government. You have to have authority. You can't perform the duties of the Secretary of State unless you have authority to be the Secretary of State. You can't just go out here and give someone a speeding ticket unless you have the authority to do so. You can't go out here and just arrest someone unless you have the authority to do so. You can't go out here and practice medicine unless you have the authority to do so. Authority is important. And it's also important in spiritual matters. Today, people want to have, they recognize authority in anything and everything but spiritual matters. But authority does matter. And authority mattered to Jesus Christ, and that's why he walked to the Jordan to be baptized unto John. We see here that it was an act of righteousness in verse 15. We see from verse 16, Jesus coming up straightway out of the water, that he was immersed. There's no need to go down into the water if you're being sprinkled. Jesus Christ was immersed. And we see that the baptism was pleasing to God. We see that after it took place, there was a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Bible abounds with teaching upon the subject of baptism. Yet there are few subjects, if any, where greater mistakes have arisen than the subject of baptism. In the book of Acts chapter 19, we'll not turn there, but in Acts 19 verses 1 through 7, we see an incident there where Paul rebaptized 12 disciples. No matter what you think, no matter what any commentator thinks, and there's various views of who these individuals were there in Acts 19, verses 1 through 7, no matter what your opinion is, they were rebaptized. There was something wrong with their baptism. No matter who they are, there was something wrong with their baptism. And what that tells us is that not all baptism is right. Something was wrong with theirs. And unless there is proper authority, it can't be right. Unless it is by a proper mode, immersion, it cannot be right. These individuals, in truth, were not really rebaptized. The truth is they were never baptized to begin with. The truth is they were now baptized by Paul. So the New Testament lays down very plainly the instructions concerning baptism, lays down very correctly, very plainly the prohibitions and the principles and the patterns that ought to guide us when it comes to the subject of baptism. Now notice in the book of Romans chapter 6, and this is where we want to take the message from, Romans chapter 6, begin reading with verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Very important word there is the word likeness. Appears twice in that verse. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." We see in these verses that baptism is referred to as a likeness. It is the likeness of Christ's death. It is the likeness of Christ's resurrection. What that tells us is that baptism resembles something. That baptism is a picture of something. That baptism is a portrait. It is a picture, it is a portrait of that which is spiritual. It is a declaration. It is a reminder. Again, it is a heavenly drawn picture of something spiritual. And that's what we want to consider tonight, baptism as a picture. I believe every time someone is scripturally baptized, it is a picture of the gospel. We learn from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that some of the main ingredients of the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism pictures all three. Baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So baptism is a picture of the gospel. When Jesus was baptized, it pointed forward to his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Today, of course, baptism points backward. It points back to the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So every time someone is scripturally baptized, it is a declaration. It is a picture of the gospel, of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We see also that baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as being for the one who is being baptized. When an individual is immersed in water, and again, it's important that the picture be accurate. I get a little tired of people saying, well, it's just a picture, so it doesn't matter. The picture has to be accurate. It does matter. It matters that the picture is accurate. That's true in the Lord's Supper as well. But we see that when the individual is immersed in water, again, that is a picture that Christ's death, that Christ's burial was for them. When we immerse Trevor in water tonight, when he goes under the water, that is a picture that he has placed his trust, that he is placing his trust in the death and burial of Christ for him. That is, that Jesus Christ died for him and that Jesus Christ was buried for him. It is a declaration that his trust in the death of Jesus Christ for his sin. He is declaring that Jesus Christ in his death paid his sin debt. He is saying, Jesus Christ died for me. Jesus Christ was buried for me. Just like I am going under this water, Jesus Christ was buried for me. Now, when we put someone under the water, we don't leave them there. They've got to come up. They've got to come up. That's part of the picture. The picture must be accurate. They must go all the way under the water. Again, if a hand or a foot pops up, not an accurate picture. Needs to be retaken, if you will. Need to do it over. So, Trevor, don't kick your feet up. But it has to be an accurate, it has to be an accurate picture. When that individual comes up out of the water, that is a picture of resurrection. It is a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ being for the one who is being baptized. It is a declaration that the individual has placed their trust, has placed their faith, not only in the death and burial of Christ, because the death and burial of Christ is not enough. You have to also have a resurrection. They are saying, I am placing my trust in the death and the burial of Christ, but I'm also placing my trust in the resurrection of Christ. So when the individual comes out of the water, it is a reminder of the resurrection. It is a reminder of the resurrection being for that individual. It is a reminder that Jesus Christ saves sinners. It is a reminder that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. It is a reminder that Jesus Christ is the Savior of guilty sinners and of alienated sinners and hopeless and helpless sinners. It is a picture, it is an illustration that Jesus Christ is no longer in the grave, that he's been resurrected. And again, baptism is for the saved. It is not for infants. It is not for the unsaved. That would be an inaccurate picture. It is for saved people only. All through the book of Acts, we see this, and we're not going to go to those verses this evening, but you read Acts chapter 2, you read Acts chapter 8, you read Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 10, and you see that baptism was for the saved and only for the saved. What happens if you baptize someone and 3 years down the road they realize that I wasn't saved, but now I really am saved? Well, they need to be baptized. That baptism meant nothing. It was an inaccurate picture. So baptism is only for saved people. We do not baptize infants. We do not sprinkle infants just in case. Baptism is only for saved people. Every time a lost person is baptized, it is an inaccurate picture. It is false. It doesn't mean anything. We say also that baptism is a picture of union with Christ. When that water completely covers Trevor, it is a picture, it is a declaration that symbolically Trevor is saying, I am in Christ. I am in Christ just as I am in this water. I am in Christ. What a blessing. Because it is in Christ that all the blessings of God are found. Those that are lost are said there in Ephesians chapter 2 to be without Christ. We that are saved, we're in Christ. And when we go down into the water, just as much as we're in that water, we are in Christ. It is in Christ that the sinner is forgiven. It is in Christ that he is redeemed. It is in Christ that he has an inheritance. He is saying, all my hope, all my trust, everything I'm trusting in today is in Christ. Everything. He's not trusting in the baptismal waters. The baptismal waters, that water is not special. It hasn't been blessed. It has no special powers. It has no cleansing power. It is simply a picture of what Jesus Christ has done. It is a picture of union with Jesus Christ. We see in Romans chapter 6 that baptism is a picture of one's death, the sin. Again, there is no spiritual power in the act of baptism. That is, the act of baptism does not bring about death to sin. The act of baptism does not bring about a special cleansing. But baptism does declare that Jesus Christ died to put away my sins at Calvary. And His death for sin has become my death to sin. And to show my death to sin, I am being buried in a watery grave. So the one being baptized declares that they have died to the dominion of sin. Again, you read Romans chapter 6, and we see that's the main teaching of Romans 6. Is that we are no longer under the dominion of sin. That is, we're no longer under the control of sin. It's not that we're not sinners. It's not that we don't sin anymore. It's that we're not under the dominion of sin. We're now under the dominion of the Lord. We have a new Lord. Sin is no longer our Lord. And we are burying our old self. We're burying our old self. And it is a picture that the old man is being buried. So we see that in Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through verse 14. So those of you who have been saved, those of you who have been baptized, I remind you that the Lord saved your soul. The Lord saved your unworthy soul, and that when you were baptized, you made public profession to everyone who was there the day of your baptism. You made public profession that you had died to sin and that you were no longer going to live under the dominion of sin. You see, the truth is tonight that many have made a mockery of their own baptism. They made a mockery of it because sin is still a dominating force in their life. Every time sin calls, they answer. They're not in church half the time because sin is their master. They made a mockery. They made a mockery of their own baptism. When Trevor goes under the water, he is saying, the old Trevor Goins is being buried. He's dead. He's dead to sin. So baptism is a picture of burial. Again, when you bury somebody, it's criminal to just sprinkle a few specks of dirt on them and call that a burial. You'll go to jail for that. It's criminal also to just sprinkle a few drops of water on somebody and say that's a burial. It's not a picture of a burial. Again, the picture must be accurate. We see also here that baptism is a picture of new life. It's a picture that the old life is being buried. But when that individual comes up out of the water, just as Christ was raised from the grave, it is a picture of newness of life. Notice in verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when he's brought up from the water, it is a picture of a new life of a child of God. The old man is dead. The old Trevor Goins is dead. But now a new person comes out of the water. It is a declaration, it is a testimony to everyone here. Trevor is saying, I am going to walk in newness of life. From this day forward, I am going to walk in newness of life. That is, I have a life now that has new principles. The old principles, they're buried. I have a life now that has new motives. Those old motives, they're buried. But I have new motives now. New principles. New objects to live for. New hopes. A life of new possessions. So baptism is a declaration that an individual has been changed. That an individual has been changed by the amazing grace of God. And that they are going to manifest that change in their life. That's what we all declared to everyone who was in attendance the day that we were baptized. We declared that we have been saved by the grace of God, that we are now a new creature, and that we have every intention of living a new life, and we have no intention of ever going back for that old life. That's the testimony of baptism. And that's what you all witness this evening. This is serious business. It's a serious thing to be baptized. It's something that everyone ought to take very seriously. It's something that we ought to look back, cause us to look back on our own baptism and remember, I made that promise also. That the old man has died, and I'm not going to go back to that old life, but I'm going to walk in newness of life. We all made that promise. We all drew that picture the day that we were baptized. And then lastly, baptism is an identifying mark. Baptism identifies us with three things. It identifies us with a person. That person is Jesus Christ. It is a picture of union, as we've already said, of soul to Jesus Christ. The individual that is being baptized is saying, I want everybody to know that the old me is dead and that the new me is identified with Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of it. I want everybody to know that I am identified with Jesus Christ. That's what baptism declares. That's what Trevor is declaring tonight. That he is being identified with Jesus Christ. And may I say, that's nothing to be ashamed of. We all need to be identified with something. We're all identified with someone. And I can't think of anybody better to be identified with than Jesus Christ. And that's something we ought never, ever to be ashamed of. And that's what he is declaring tonight. He's declaring that he is identified with Jesus Christ. And that it is his intent for the rest of his life, however long that will be, that it is his intent to be identified with Jesus Christ. It's a testimony. So when the one goes under the water, comes up out of the water, They are testifying of something that has taken place in their life. Baptism also identifies with a people. It identifies one with a local assembly. It is how one becomes a member of one of the Lord's churches. The baptized individual declares, I join myself with this people. I join myself with this church. And I will serve the Lord. That's what the Lord put his church here for, so you and I could serve the Lord through it. I identify myself with Home Baptist Church. I identify myself with the people of Home Baptist Church. And I have every intent of serving the Lord through this church. That is what he's declaring tonight. Again, that's serious, serious business. He is declaring that I will support the church. I will support the church with my attendance. I identify with them. I will support the church in my tithes. I will support the church in my offerings. I will support the church in my prayers. I will seek to be a help to the church. I will seek to be a blessing to this people that I identify myself with. That's serious business. To be identified with a person, Jesus Christ. To be identified with a people, the Lord's church. It's serious business. And again, many have made a mockery of their own baptism. Lastly, baptism identifies with a purpose. It identifies with the purpose of the Lord's church, which is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in all things. That we'll follow him in all things. That we will declare the truth. That we will defend the truth. That we will declare the truth and defend the truth at all cost. And that we will represent Christ in all things. That's the purpose of the church. And the one who is being baptized is identifying himself with purpose. Go back tonight to your own baptism. Have you made a mockery of your own baptism? How sad that one would make a mockery of your own baptism. That their own baptism would come to mean nothing. God help us to take these things very, very seriously. I believe the subject of baptism is of great importance. The church does not practice scriptural baptism. If a church recognizes baptisms that are not scriptural, they will cease. You can mark it down. They will cease to be. They will cease to be one of the Lord's churches. Though it does not save, and it was never intended to save, it does picture. It does picture, it draws a picture of our salvation. And again, it is imperative that the picture be accurate. It is imperative that we draw an accurate picture. The Lord's churches have always insisted. The world doesn't understand it. The religious world doesn't understand it, nor do we expect them to. But the Lord's churches have always insisted upon scriptural baptism. And if there is such a thing as scriptural baptism, then is there not such a thing as unscriptural baptism as well? And you ask anybody who professes salvation, do you believe in a scriptural baptism? And they'll say yes. Then you must also believe that there's some baptisms that aren't necessarily scriptural. Baptists have always insisted upon scriptural baptism. and they must continue to do so. Baptists have always guarded the ordinance of baptism. They have given their life for the doctrine of baptism. For all those today say, well, it really doesn't matter. Tell the martyrs that. It does matter. It matters. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And I believe every time someone is scripturally baptized, you can still hear that voice, I'm well pleased. I'm well pleased. And that's what we're here for tonight, is to please the Lord. You pray. You pray for Trevor, that the Lord will help him, that the Lord will give him the grace, and he will, that he'll give him the grace that he needs to serve the Lord in and through Home Baptist Church. You pray for him, but you and I need to examine our own lives. Have we indeed died unto sin? Are we walking in newness of life? Or have we made a mockery of our own baptism? And oh, how we ought to praise God and how we ought to thank God that God still saves souls, and that there are still some who believe in the scriptural way of baptism. Not only believe it, but insist upon it. And I pray that Home Baptist Church would always insist upon scriptural baptism. I don't worry about hurting someone's feelings when it comes to baptism. I worry about being scriptural. Is the baptism scriptural? And that's what we need to be concerned about, of anybody's baptism. And that's why we should not have any problem tonight examining baptisms. I had a man years ago, and this is a man that's in our fellowship. He told me years ago, Brother Dan, the Lord didn't call me to examine people's baptism. I'm sorry, he did. He sure did. He called you, he called every church to examine whether or not a baptism is scriptural. And I'll go as far to say, if you can't find out for sure, you'd better baptize again. If you don't know for sure that it was scriptural, then you'd better make sure it is. And there's only one way to do that, and that's to baptize again. So you pray for Trevor tonight, that the Lord would use him to be a blessing to Home Church. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.